Restrictions. Please try your call again from an unrestricted telephone. The number you have dialed has a new directory assistance service. Please dial 1-900-659-7000. Again, that number is 1-900-659-7000. To be connected to a new National Telephone Directory Assistance Service, you must be over 18, and each call costs $1.99. Service Bureau Networks.
Security alert, all decks.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your system sucks.
Hey, I don't believe that any system is totally secure.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
That I need to know, and I need to know now.
You are listening to Radio Free America.
Hi, this is Illinois Relay C8-1411 with a message. Hi, Duel. This is Mute Boy, Voyage. This is Mute. Hey, Duel, this is Mute. Catch you on the flip side. On the flip side, one late. End of message.
Welcome to RFA. On this RFA, we send Stank Dog to the American Idol Finals. That's right. We're going to send him with... What are we going to send him with?
Well, I think I have this American Idol Slurpee cup here I bought from 7-Eleven. He can, if you win, you send him to the finals,
oh.
And Stank loves it so much.
Yeah, Stank is a huge fan of American Idol.
Well, it's better than this show they got on now with people in masks dating the... Monica Lewinsky or her friend or whatever the hell they're doing now.
dude, I've never even heard of that until you guys told me about that. That is sick. Okay, and we're very fortunate, not only are we fortunate to have Stank and Mute, a super special guest. Special, yes, he's not getting ass rammed right now.
No, on location.
I'm patched up. I'm going back in next month, but I'm patched up, and it's okay for now. The Preparation H has been bought wholesale.
You got it by the case. A caulking gun full of Prep H. Now, you are actually at a payphone. Am I correct?
Yes, I'm at a payphone. There's some historicalness to this payphone.
Let's hear it.
All right. I don't know when the hell this was. I just remember it. It was a long time ago in Hackermine Land when Screamer called up a bunch of payphones, like three or four of them, and the last one was this payphone I'm using right now at a certain undisclosed location. You can find out if you go find the MP3 of it. And that's the place where I go and do... We have a condo down here, and we go on vacation. That's why I can do this right now and do the show, and I'm at that payphone right now.
Nice. So you go do your freaking shouts to the hacker mind, and this and phone has history, and we're doing it right now.
In the front, so.
Yes. Yeah, not a box in the back. This is a payphone in the front, and this show is also special because it's actually occurring. I had, believe it or not, the hiccups, like you wouldn't believe. I had the hiccups like a motherfucker before the show. I don't know how long. I bet a half hour we were trying to get these things to go away, and finally they did. I want to start with some housekeeping, that being that we are not changing schedule. That's right. We're going to stay on at Wednesday nights, and... It was brought up first by Mick J of Spastic Audio Breakdown. He, I guess, I don't know if he's got hard time. I'm assuming it's not hard times, but, you know, just the schedule's really tough for him. He's on Thursday nights after the What the Fuck show. You know, unfortunately, you know, we chose this time because we needed to, right? It worked with all of our schedules, and it's going to be even more important as the summer rolls on. So we're going to stay on Wednesday nights. Very sorry, Mick J. You know, doesn't mean it's totally permanent. We can... No, maybe do something in the future. I'll do whatever I can to help you out. He's got a good show, and I want everybody to check out his show again Thursday nights on Rant Radio, Mick J, Spastic Audio Breakdown. I believe the website is ArmageddonProject.com. It's a really unique site. Go check that out. Also, just a dude, we're blown up, man. I mean, not to pat myself on the back, you know, not to get an ego, but I tell you what, it's just blowing up. We've got three mirrors now for Radio Freak America. Can you guys believe that?
Way.
We've got, of course, the original rfa.rootsecure.net, and that's Nick84's site over at RootSecure. Go check that out. And then just this week or last week, I saw this actually in my referrer logs, audio.textfiles.com. I'm sure everybody is familiar with textfiles.com and Jason Scott's sites. Great sites, you know, he's archived a ton of stuff. It's just, it's a great resource. Well, now he's got audio, and he's got lots of things. He doesn't just have shows. He has RFA, of course. He's got In the Now, which is great, and he also has, what does he have? He's got conferences, he's got prank calls. Does he have prank calls? I don't remember. He's got conference calls, which is cool. Lots of stuff, so go check that out, audio.textfiles.com. And then finally, and I just found this week, actually on your board, Stank, somebody, a hacker named Jaga.
And Jaga sent an email actually a week or two ago offering to put up another mirror as well.
Well, and he did. You go to Jaga.com, that is JAWGA.com, Jaga.com, and you'll see a nav bar at the top, and Radio Freak America is right there, and he's got all the Fs, all of them. Awesome. Very awesome. Thank you so much, Jaga.
And some other good stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. He has all the off-the-hook mirrored. It's unbelievable. That is, first of all, a huge amount of disk space, not to mention that, you know, to download all that stuff. So that's a good site. It's a really good resource, actually. So go to Jaga.com. Check that out. Check out all the mirrors. Check out textfiles.com. Check out Spastic Audio Breakdown. I'm actually, with these mirrors now, I'm going to put up a mirrors page. So if you're running a mirror, any of you guys I just mentioned or anybody else, guys or gals, send me a graphic and I'll put up a nice mirror page and link your site. So thank you to everybody for the mirrors. I want to go into a little international spiel right now, right? I want to have a little international section because, you know, we're very worldly. We need an international section of the show, and we've got one today. And we're going to start with Occupant. Yeah, you remember Occupant, I'm sure, the guy who helped us out with the EFF. He brought up the fact that DW World, and that's the German news agency, is going to curtail their transmission in North America, their shortwave transmission. I've never listened to it myself personally, but I have watched DW World on public access channels in certain cities, and I enjoy it immensely. It's German news, right? News from Germany in English. Good stuff. You know, always, you know what? Always, if you can't, I'll say the message for the end. So, DW Shortwave, going to be ending. He gave, and this is on the Stank Dogs forums, all the information so you can contact them and tell them, hey, we want that. If everybody can remember, the BBC stopped their broadcasts into North America. That's not as bad. You can still get it on public Public Radio International, right? PRI. So you've got, oh, is it NPR and PRI. You can still listen to BBC. But this is bad. You know, this is one less voice that we get to listen to. So go to Stank Dog Forums, look for that thread, get that information, and tell them, hey, we want you to keep broadcasting. We want that alternative viewpoint. I've already done it. I've yet to get a response. But again, I haven't listened to it, but I still sent that in. I still told them, hey, there are a lot of people out here that want to hear things like your news broadcasts. More international news. Gamer. That's right. Gamer, the latest episode, number 8. Wolf is in China. Really interesting stuff, I'm telling you. You get to learn all about the huge high-rises of technology. You get to hear about piracy, right? How hardware is... Oh, well, just go listen to the show. It's really cool. You're going to learn a lot about games and technology in China. And again, that's Gamer at hwhq.com. That's episode 8. I actually have my review get read on that show. I was very pleased. Last, in the international vein, just this morning, I was flipping through the channels while I was eating my Captain Crunch. Crunchberries, mind you. And I stopped at C-SPAN because I saw something I've never seen before. And what I saw was CCTV 9, which is the state-run English-language Chinese news. So on C-SPAN, now I think I've talked about this before. I would watch the House of Commons. Is it the House of Commons in England, right? And watch Tony Blair speak, and it was great. I really enjoyed that. Maybe it's sick that I watched the legislature in England, but I liked it. It was very interesting. I like the accents. It's fun to hear, different things, different voices, different languages, although it is English. And I also enjoyed seeing their political process. It's amazing, guffawing and yelling and laughing. It was amazing. It was amazing. So check that out. Go to C-SPAN, flip through. If it's really boring, like they've got some really boring talk shows, skip those, like the call-in crap. Don't watch that. But if they ever have any kind of world news on there, or, again, the House of Commons in the UK, watch that stuff. It's a lot of fun. That's the international stuff. I like that. I really enjoy that. I think we need to bring as much, like last, was the last show? Anyways, Nick84 had his BT, his British Telecom sounds that we played for everybody. I want to do that more often. I want to bring more of an international flavor to the show because this is not, the U.S. is not the world, okay? Your trailer watching your football and drinking your beer is not the world, goddamn. Sorry, Stank. that's not the world. The internet brings us together a lot more. We get to learn about other cultures. We get to learn about technology in other countries, and I think we need to bring more of that to everybody. So I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to make a concerted effort to everybody to bring international technology to you. There's a few things. Go check all those things out. Oh, I forgot it! I don't have it, guys.
Yeah, we didn't miss it.
Hook me up.
What's that?
Open the freak news.
I don't have a tone dialer.
What?
It's broken. I have it.
Whoa. Step back. Your tone dialer's broken?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, it looks like... Now, this is just a pure hypothesis here. But when the friendly airport security quote-unquote inspected my bag... They broke the crystal. No, I'm kidding. I think it fried or something. I don't know.
Really? All right. Surprised they didn't take it away from you.
Well, I packed it. I checked it. I didn't put it in my bag.
You might beat somebody to death with your tone dialer.
Yeah, or beep them. Yeah, I think it's
Yeah, oh, you could beep them to death. Yep. Annoy them to death with the Star Tone. All right. Stank, do you have yours?
Yeah, I got a little something.
Bust it.
About.
Yeah, do it again. Very nice. That opens the freak. That opens the freak news.
A buck there.
That's right. That was like a, that was 105, I think. Okay, the freak news is now open for business. Did you guys hear that they're putting guns in cockpits?
Yeah, I heard about this.
Is that not the dumbest thing ever?
It's the craziest.
That is the stupid. What? Bring the weapons on the planes.
Bring
everybody.
The weapons on the planes so terrorists can come by.
Yeah, that's right. That is the stupidest thing ever. Okay, that's not freak news, though. The freak news, we're going to start with some emails, actually. That's right. Emails not for the show. Emails for the freak news. Here's one. Now, see, I knew somebody understood. I knew that somebody felt with me. Inverse ARP understands. Duel, I just wanted to drop you a line and say that your story about your journey on your bike, which I believe was on RFA 56 or 57, when you just rode around and checked out telco equipment, was really cool. Although I'm not as active as yourself in the aspect of freaking, I always enjoy taking some journeys as yourself, spotting equipment. One other thing is that I wanted to give my vote of support for your decision to steer RFA back to being technology-based. Inverse ARP, yes, thank you very much, Inverse. We are going to stay technology-based. Again, I'm hoping to add more international flavor. I really dig that. I think everybody needs to be educated in international technology. And he understands. He understands. I mean, check, you know, we read about Adrian Lama, right? Lately. I mean, that dude, talk about endless adventure. I mean, that's like an endless freak adventure. It's got its downfalls, obviously. You know, he's definitely living the different lifestyle. But, I mean, think about it. He's just going out. He's, you know, he's living it. He's living that, you know, underground, urban, cyberpunk feel, man. I mean, he's doing it. So,
I mean, you see, you call it underground, and it's actually really public. So you just imagine the guys that are really doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it is public. I mean, he's out, you know, he's kind of homeless, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, so, yeah, well, the point of it is homeless.
Right, right. That's the price he's paying. So, thank you, Inverse. I'm glad you understand. Somebody's with me. Okay, next. This is a long email from one of your homeboys, actually, Mute.
Oh, yeah.
This is from Kuroshi.
That's how you say it. Wanted to make sure you said it right.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I see that. He actually gave me a
phonetic pronunciation.
Phonetic pronunciation right
there.
Okay, here it is. I listen to RFA 59 tonight. So Mute, nobody misses him. Haha, just kidding. I'm a friend of Mute from Chicago 2600. I live in Chicago and caught Cowboy Bebop the movie. Oh, a little anime thrown in here. On the big screen. Anime Otaku note, the Bebop movie was called Knockin' on Heaven's Door originally, but the title changed when it came overseas. I'm guessing the change in title is due to intellectual property laws or royalties. Hackers even need to shield anime from corporate abuse these days. That's hilarious. Anyway, the movie was great. The best thing about it was it takes us back to our roots as freaks. Yes, this is true. This wasn't in the fan subs, but in the dub version, very excellent dub, by the way, the hacker who's creating chaos with the nanotech virus begins talking about Captain Crunch. Me and the friend I was with, shouts to Battery, were shocked. We saw the movie on the first Friday of the month before heading to the local 2600 meet. And that was a pleasant surprise. That got me to thinking, though, although many people have never heard of a freak, they all heard of telecommunications, and thus freaks leave their mark on the world. That's right. Freaks will own the world. Second order business was something I found in my local newspaper. A suburb outside of Chicago, and here it is. Emergency telephone system approved. The Countryside City Council voted on March 26th to allow Police Chief Timothy Swanson, that's an American name, Timothy Swanson, to purchase a $23,000 reverse 911 phone system. The system can call thousands of phones with a pre-recorded emergency message or target calls to a specific, check this out, this is a quote by the way, to a specific areas of the city affected by water main breaks or other problems, Swanson said. There are possible non-emergency uses for the system as well, including automatically calling senior citizens or sending out information on city events.
Damn.
Yeah. When I read this, especially the non-emergency uses part, I thought, wow, just what I need. Big Brother telemarketing.
Wait a minute. Did you say the name of the suburb?
Just said the Countryside City Council. So the city of Countryside, I'm assuming.
No idea where the fuck it is.
Okay, you do?
Not a suburb, then.
It's not?
It's not, I have no idea. It's probably in Bumble.
Okay, well, he said, wow, just what I thought. Big Brother telemarketing, yes. But then saw the large price on it. Well, here he says it's 32, and up here it says it's 23, so one or the other.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that money could be spent on much, much better on preventing some heinous crime rather than a system that could be implemented quite inexpensively through telco site equipment. I thought something similar to a Centrex could do it. Or hell, a dozen lines in a PC could accomplish the same thing. Although something more efficient may be needed for emergency situations. The last thought that crossed my mind was the security issue. I know for a fact that the local police in my area aren't the most security-minded people. And what if somebody compromised the security of that system to send out their own emergency message? I sure as hell don't want to be woken with a message from Johnny S. Kitty telling me that the police chief has farted and to evacuate town immediately. I hope you find this information interesting and share with your listeners if you think they would benefit from it. Yes, I do. Keep up the good work, and remember, the revolution will be synthesized. Kuroishi. Very nice. Thank you, Kuroishi. That is a great email, and we've actually discussed reverse 911 on previous RFAs. Maybe it's useful, maybe it's not. Dig up that old episode, check it out, and honestly, $23,000, even $32,000 doesn't sound that expensive for what that system does. I mean, well, anyways, check out that old app, do a little research on Verse 911, and maybe you can call, I don't know, call your, I don't know, your police, your local police station, non-emergency number, and see if they use 911, reverse 911. Find out. See if it's in use in your city right now. Okay. More freak news. Okay, I promised last week, I'm going to do it now, and this is totally, totally, utterly off the cuff. I haven't prepared. Been busy. Last week's show was pretty solid, was it not?
I thought so.
Okay, I agree. I thought it was solid, too. Can you imagine? And we did not. I mean, we threw that together so fast. I mean, it turned out great. Well, I'm hoping that this book review will turn out as well, because I have not prepared. This book, listen to this. That is 1,000 pages of freak happiness, baby. I was given this book by Bland Inquisitor. That's right, the great Bland Inquisitor, webmaster of binrev.com. And it's called Voice and Data Communications Handbook by Regis J. Bud Bates and Donald W. Gregory. Bud Bates is the main guy in the book, and he's actually representing Phoenix, the PHX. And, in fact, before I go, here we go. Hold on. His company is TCIC. This is Bud Bates, and it's got basically an advertisement for his company in the back, and it's in the Metro Phoenix area. If you want additional information about Bud Bates' company, call 800-322-2202, or if you're in the Phoenix area, 480-777-7992. I haven't tried this yet. This book is actually from 2000, and the ISBN number is 0-07-212276-5. And again, this is, I believe, the third edition in 2000. So it's pretty current. You know, a lot of things have changed. You know, we discussed a lot of stuff that's, you know, time sensitive, but you can pick that up quickly. Let's go through it. It's 1,000 pages. It is about telecommunications. It is about freaking. With a book this size, I think, and I was, selective about what I read. There are chapters in here because now, you know, the lines are blurred, right? I mean, the internet is built on the POTS network, right? So right now, data and voice, it's all one, right? Everything's digital. The network, it's all pretty much the same now. You know, when you talk about your, you know, you talk about your dial-up internet access, you talk about your, you know, your voice calls, it's all the same. Right, so you can pretty much skip chapters on the in-ear. So he gives the basics of networking, essentially, is what I'm getting at. Right, so you can basically skip, you know, if you know anything about computers, you can skip the chapters on the internet or intranets or Ethernet networking. Right, if you know 802.3, skip those chapters. I did some chapters that I probably shouldn't have skipped. I did the one on cell phones, there's one on microwave links, stuff like that's important. You need to know that. I wasn't just interested in time as I read this book. I read probably 3/4 of the book then. It starts out with the history of telecommunications, right? The history of the telephone, who invented it, right? If there's any disputes about who really invented the phone. It talks about divestiture. It talks about the Telecom Act in 1996. And then it goes on to the basics of telecommunications, telephony, starting with the telephone set. It goes through pulse code modulation and how you get a DS0 signal, right? 64. It gives you the basics. I mean, even if you don't want to be a freak, right? You don't want to know all the stuff that QBiz knows, then you should still read this book. Sit down, grab it, and read a chapter or two in your BN or your big store. Then it goes into, and it basically builds. And it gets to stuff like stuff that I honestly really knew nothing about. Once I read it, I was like, wow, I didn't know that. I basically knew nothing about these subjects. Basically, that's frame relay and ATM. Amazing, amazing stuff, right? Well, actually, let me preface that. It builds. Again, it keeps building. You got your digital signal zero, and then it builds upon that to get all the higher signals, and then it gives you X25 and packet switching, and then it builds on that and gets all, you know, finally, basically, to ATM and frame relay. Just for those two chapters alone, it was worth it. I mean, the book was awesome. It then goes into, stuff like local number portability and signaling system 7. And it gives you a great overview of what those things do. They don't delve into, you know, you're not going to get actual, you know, packets of the SF7 protocol or anything like that, but you're going to get a great overview, a good handle on what actually happens. My three favorite chapters in this book were the ATM frame relay and the SS7. Those were just the best. I mean, I loved it. I could read whole books on those, and I'm sure whole books do exist on those subjects alone.
Duel, what does the cover look like to that book?
The cover, excuse me, it's basically a black book. The bottom has a white band, and the cover has a older purple Motorola cell phone on it. Yeah, it's a Motorola cell phone, and it's purplish.
It looks like a stupid book, but it's a good book.
Yeah, you'll see the spine first. First of all, it's huge, right? So you see this, you know, huge wide spine, and you'll see, you know, voice and data in big words, and then again you'll see this little purple Motorola cell phone.
Because they have, I mean, there's books. I don't know, like, I forget the company, but they released like 6 or 7 books on just like telephones, wireless networks, how the internet works. They released just a bunch of books. It's like something with an N, I think, is a publishing company, and they do a pretty good job.
Yeah, it's McGraw-Hill. That's who publishes this book.
And McGraw, okay. All right. It's like, mine's like Novell. It's not Novell. It's like something with an N, though. That's another good company I want to recommend. And actually, if I can mention this one.
Please.
There's a book. Now, it's like completely freaking, but it's still pretty fucking cool. Sorry for swearing, you know. Just so angry.
No, that's okay.
Sorry, I'm so angry at the ass ramming.
It's a bitter.
Book. Oh, it's from Microsoft Press. Oddly enough, it's a book called Code. Maybe you've heard of it, or anyone's heard of it that's listening right now. The book basically is about how it goes from very basic stuff, like basically starting out with like how was people, what are the code, and basically it's like how do people talk, not cryptographically, but just a different way of talking, or different way of exchanging information. It starts out with Morse code and Braille, and then it says, well, let's talk about the computer. How's the computer built? It starts out with relays and making simple gates like AND, NOT, ORs, or NAND gates and so forth. And making them out of basic relays and making a calculator, showing you how subtraction works, and all the way up to how memory, RAM works, like core logic memory, all the way through basically building a full computer, well, not a full computer, but a computer just the same, like doing calculations, floating point shit.
Cool.
I actually stopped reading the book. Because it builds on so much before, like, in the back of it, that you can sort of forget stuff. So basically, I'd recommend reading it straight through and just assuming that you understand what when they said, like, oh, we're going to use, like, 3 NAND gates here and it's going to produce this. Well, assume that you do know that because if you think, like, wait, how's a NAND gate work? You're going to be thinking about an hour for it, like an hour.
Right.
Like, making, like, all right, let's draw a NAND gate and then, all right, that works. So then you already waste 30 minutes something you just, I mean, there's no reason to prove it because I bet the book's completely solid.
Yeah, that's a good reading tactic, actually.
Yeah.
So, hey, look at that. You got an impromptu book review right there from Mute. Let me finish this, and I want to finish by going over the bad points, basically. There were some bad points about this book. Not horrible. You know, definitely nothing to stop you from reading this great book full of freak material. He actually, I don't see a way around it. He had to mention stuff mention things, mention acronyms before they're explained, right? So he'll be giving an explanation for some topic, and then you'll see acronyms that you've never seen before, right? But then shortly after or later chapter, he'll explain those acronyms.
That means it's more a reference book than anything.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think this is a reference book.
If he says something,
it is right. Okay, all right. You could say just because it's 1,000 pages, it's a reference book.
Yeah.
But this book teaches you. I mean, he did it very well. He built on everything, you know. I think perfectly, right? And this is a minor point. Basically, this is the bad things that you got to stick in, and I think it's pretty minor. But I think that somebody who's I caught a lot of them, or I knew a lot of them because of the context. But somebody who's not as familiar with telecommunications might get lost and maybe get frustrated. I would hope not. But stick with it. If you read this book, stick with it.
Do they have a glossary of some sort?
Of course. It has an index. You can do that.
Yeah, just go back there and search it up.
Yeah, yeah. But if you keep reading, you'll get to it eventually. What was the other bad one? I can't remember. I had something else, but I can't recall it right now. I cannot recommend this book enough. It's very, very expensive. Actually, Bland got it for $5, he said. It cost him more to ship it to me than it did to buy it. The price on this, $65. Woo! Expensive, but it's huge. And you just, I ate it up, man. I could not put this down.
I think about the Art of Electronics. I don't know. It's supposed to be for some, like, Berkeley. I don't know. It's a college-level book. And the Art of Electronics is basically... Well, not even that basic, just like kind of rudimentary, if you will, like electronics, like Ohm's Law and stuff, through, like, building your own damn microprocessor. I just stopped, like, the second chapter because you really need a teaching environment for it. I bought the book, then there's a student's guide, and I know there's somewhere there's a teacher's guide, which will explain these problems to me, which the student guide does not give you answers to. That's where you really need it. It's either you find all the books for it and teach yourself, or you do it in class.
Right. Now, see, that's a whole different story, getting a textbook. And that's, textbooks, again, are made for, like you said, the class environment. If you can learn from it,
yeah,
that's great. I think it's going to take a little more work. This was not like a textbook. This really taught you... In a step-by-step building manner, and I thought it was written very, very well. I think it flowed very well. I think most everybody that shares in RFA can skip a lot of the chapters that I talked about. You know, Ethernet, Internet, Intranet. You know, you'll probably just skip those, and that's fine. 1,000 pages, believe me, you'll still get your money's worth. So check this book out, Voice and Data Communications Handbook by Bates. BATES. Very good book. How's that? That wasn't a very bad review either.
One other thing I should mention is these books are kind of pricey, but you may get lucky and check this out at your local library and, you know, take it out and read the chapters that you want and return it without having to shell out $60, $70, and upwards of $100 for some of these more expensive books.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. I mean...
What is it, like 0.002 cents a page?
That's $5. Whew, that's minuscule. Yeah, if you're lucky, like Bland, you'll find it dirt cheap in some clearance bin. If not, check the library. You know, check your school. Worst case, sit down and read a chapter here and there. You can do that. You can grab a book and have a seat at these big bookstores and read.
Go in there at 9 a.m. Go to the coffee section. Pay for their overpriced coffee. Go sit down.
That's right.
Don't leave. Just don't leave.
Yeah.
Until it's done.
Yeah. Stay there 24 hours. Okay, to continue the freak news, in theory, a gentleman, I'm assuming it's a man, that hangs out on Stank's boards, has posted a link to some awesome phone sounds, great phone sounds. He did some scanning, and he's got some great, great stuff. I mean, they're a blast to listen to. So check out In Theory Sounds, and you can find his sounds at, I don't have the URL, son of a gun. Just go to Stank Dog Forums. And go to the, I think it's in Freaks and Geeks or Links, I can't remember which.
I think it's in the Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks, yeah, he's got a phone sounds archives, and it's a blast to listen to. They're great. You gotta have OG support, they're at OG, so check them out. In Theories of Phone Sounds. Stank actually brought this up. Stank, you're getting into the freak news, man. Look at that. I'm converting you, my friend. Okay.
Baby steps.
That's right. And he's going to talk about smart parking meters. I know what you're thinking. What the hell does that have to do with freaking? Well, check it out.
Well, it's just kind of a little anecdote I read in a magazine about, it's in San Francisco, actually, where they're experimenting, or I guess it's experimenting in live environment. They've got them out where they have, when you pay to park in some of these parking garages and stuff like that, they have a newer, I guess, more up-to-date machines that they're rolling out now where, well, first of all, you can go up and pay with your credit card and stuff like that, which is already a step above the digging through your pocket for change situation. But also that they are allowing you to pay with your cell phone. There's modifications they can put onto the machine, which, according to the manufacturer's website, are very simple. They liken it to swapping out a hard drive or installing a CD-ROM drive or something. They say it's that simple for the people to do it. So if the demand is there, then you'll be able to go up with your cell phone. They didn't say that it was restricted to any company or anything like that, but as we get more and more into where I think the direction is going, where, you know, we kind of have moved into the debit card age right now, where you're carrying around your debit card with your money on it, so to speak, in not so exact terms, where you'll be doing the same thing with your cell phone. You won't even need the debit card anymore if this rolls out. And, you know, this is in Japan, they do so many more things with their cell phones than we do. So I think it's good to finally see us rolling ahead with technology and catching up to some of these other places that aren't afraid to experiment and that aren't stifling their experiment. And I'm just not going to go into that rant today.
No.
So,
there is a concern there for, you know, what happens if somebody has a cloned cell phone and things like that. You know, somebody's going to get free parking. How are you going to catch them? And, you know, how can you hack your cell phone? And yada, yada, yada. But,
right.
No, it's an interesting topic nonetheless.
Something that I saw that you brought up a good point, that Japan and a lot of other countries are so dependent on their cell phones themselves. Now, this is kind of off topic, but as a cell phone thing nonetheless, in like the Netherlands or something, this is supposed to come to the States, didn't though, it's a game. I don't know, maybe you heard of this, it was in a Wired magazine once, where you sign up for this game, and everyone's on a cell phone. And it basically, there's a list of all the other game players are sending out a signal to basically a server through SMS, and once you become close to another person playing the game, you have to hunt the person.
And you shoot what?
Them with SMS messages. Like you shoot like a rocket or something.
Right.
Thing. So you miss them. It's supposed to be like urban combat kind of.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and then they, I guess you pay like, it's like EverQuest kind of, like
right.
Some money a month or some money for every shot or something you play.
Oh, that's cool.
And you kind of, there's some chance there if you miss them or not, but you're ducking around and stuff, you're making sure, you know, you basically got to get out of the hell out of the,
right.
Out of the dodge. so they won't get hit. There's probably some type of distance. I don't know. I don't think they can do. Maybe they can do some triangulation on cell sites if they really want to get that fancy.
Right.
But
that sounds like a blast. Now, and again, international flavor. Now, when I was overseas, when I was in Italy, I would watch German TV actually, and they would have commercials for SMS chat all the time, all day long. Yeah, it's SMS is huge. I can't believe it hasn't blown up here like it has, you know, in Japan and Asia and Europe. So
too many kids here have broadband, so all they do is stay at home.
Yeah, maybe so. I would love to be sending messages, cheap SMS messages left and right, but it's gonna happen eventually.
You know, in Japan also, I saw this statistic. I can't verify the validity, but it said that there were 30% of the phones in Japan were camera phones already.
Really?
Something we're just rolling out here, but 30%. It's from one of my trade magazines. It's fairly reputable, but
yeah.
I can't give you the exact one off the top of my head. I just read it about a couple weeks ago. 30% of them are camera phones already over there, and I also read another article in a different magazine about later this year, it's Sony, I believe, is rolling out a camera phone that's actually capable of 1-megapixel pictures.
Woo.
Getting the quality.
You heard two?
I heard a two from, it was like a Palm Pilot cell phone. It was a massive thing, basically.
Whoa. Yeah, but even 1 megapixel would be huge.
What is it right now saying? What is megapixel? 0.5?
You know, honestly, I don't know because it's called, I think, QVGA or something like that, and I never really researched it to see how much detail, but if you look at Operation Kiosk Freedom, pimp, skullfreak.com, you'll see the quality of the pictures, which I admit, they look better than I was expecting when I first got the phone, so I'm satisfied with it for now. I'm on a one-year contract. Hopefully a year from now, I'll be able to move on to something better, so...
Yeah, if I could take pictures that good from my phone, I would be satisfied. I think those are great. I mean, it's right in your pocket, right? Perfect for your retail hacking pleasure. By the way, I was at Kinko's. I need to get the number. I saw that same kiosk, so I need to get their store number. Anyway, on with the freak news. This is, I've been waiting for this, actually. Again, Mute is on a payphone, and he's been having his own freak adventures, and we are going to listen to all of those adventures right now.
All right, let me take this show on the road. All right, what we got here? Well, not actually leaving, because that's, all right, never mind. Anyways, I decided to make this trip, since the Italy trip wasn't really much of a freak adventure, it's more of a Jackson Wireless adventure. This will be a freak adventure, and as I was preparing for this, I realized my beige box is broken from a earlier beige box in Union Station, which you'll see one day, I don't know, in what incarnation. But anyways, I had to build one, and I was talking to Duel at the time, and Duel came up, well, go build the ultimate beige box.
That's right.
Go plug to his T-file. And so I was like, hey, you know, maybe I'll do this. So I go to the Radio Shack, I'm like, oh, shit, I don't have part numbers. Well, you know, Radio Shack's got internet, so I'll just cruise the site right there.
Whoa, did you? So you're saying that you grabbed my article up
at Radio Shack.
Nice, very nice.
Go to Radio Shack, you plug into their internet, you write, I took one of their business cards, wrote all the numbers down, handed it to the guy. He was like, all right, let me check these. All right, well, the first one, the handset, that's been discontinued.
Ooh.
Hey, I have a replacement, and you're going to love the replacement.
Okay.
And they go sell the parts. Guy waddled over, got all the parts for me, slapped on the table. I'm like, well, I need a phone. I need a small phone. Well, in previous issues, I mentioned a certain phone, which I will not mention again. You have to go find it. A certain phone, which was marked up extremely high. Now, for what reason, I don't know. I go back there, it's been labeled $20.
Ugh.
I'm like, all right, well, screw this, I need a phone. I don't have any small phones. Pay for it. Guess what it comes up as?
What?
$523.
Oh, nice.
Well, that's like tax and everything. And I'm like, well, this is impossible. I mean, the bill comes like $30. I thought, well, maybe the phone threw it off or something threw it off. What was the line status indicator?
That's like $12, $13.
Well, it's like $12.99. So right. I'm like, well, I look at the receipt and I'm like, well, I should have more money here. I looked at it, I'm like $31.50, and I look at the phone, it's like $5. I'm like, holy shit. So I go buy the other two that they have on. They had an extra two, or one of them on the shelf.
Oh, really? Okay.
I got that one just to secure it. I'm not actually going to go to the Radio Shack over here and secure the other one.
Nice. Now, let's tell everybody that if you actually spend that money to build the ultimate base box, and don't spend a lot on the phone itself,
yeah.
All of those parts can be used for other boxes. It's all, if you'll notice, it's all modular.
The whole thing is modular. It's all centered around the modular jack.
That's right.
It, basically, what I did was, now, if you read the file before continuing on this episode. What I did was, the phone that I bought, which will not be mentioned again, because I don't want it to be price be jacked up, has a headset attachment to it, and it's a piece of shit. Let me repeat.
Big time.
That is a piece of shit. What I did was, I invested some money. Now, I don't know a lot of freaks have enough money to do this. I bought one of the Jabra. It's meant for FRS radios. They actually have a bunch of different sets. I think it's all the same type thing. They have cell phones, but also one for a phone. Now, this headset was $30. But it sounds awesome. It's a Jabra, like, phone, like, tiny 2.5-mil headset jack. You plug that in, and they have, like, gel ear inserts, so stay in there.
Are they comfortable?
They're very comfortable.
Really? Because I really don't like headsets, and I've never used them, especially if I was to freak, if I was to do any boxing, I would not use that, because it would be uncomfortable. But I've always wanted to try those Jabra things.
Oh, the gel with the large... They give you small, medium, large, and left and right ears.
Oh, okay, cool.
Every one of them.
Oh, nice.
They just put it in there, and it was all good. So
good.
I had the large black, so, you know, it's covert.
So the box works?
Box is beautiful. I tested it at my house.
All right. And
patch panel in the basement.
Nice.
And so I'm on the scene. Well, before I leave, you know, I got to get gloves, but you don't want my fingerprints everywhere.
That's right.
I had to find some latex gloves.
We'll discuss that in a little bit.
Well, yeah, in a few minutes. So, you know, I get on the scene here, and everything's good. Everything's peachy. I have my nice Mac backpack, you know, have everything, and it's all good. So today, because, you know, when you have a nice note for all the young freaks like me, and you go somewhere with your parents, and you want to get the car, but you want to go do some dumpster diving, well, if it's a rental company, you can't ride in the car. You can't drive the car until you're 25, if you even have a license. So I cannot drive any vehicle we have here, so I had to go rent a bike. Well, you know, I'm a little fat, so, you know, the exercise did me well. You know, you get your freak and you get your exercise, it's all good.
That's right.
So, you know, you ride around, and what I don't have in my suburb of Chicago is these above ground, ground level paraboxes, I like to call them. You call them what, Duel?
Crossboxes.
Crossboxes. You know, there's a bunch of different names. I like paraboxes. It's pairs, of course. Anyways, there's a lot of them here, and I bet there's a lot of them where you live as well.
Yes.
Oh, but I don't have that. I don't have that luxury. They're on the other side of my town.
Ugh.
So I have the I'm sticking with the CO. I'm just going to dumpster dive that every few nights. You know, simple enough. Well, I have a nice bike, and I ride around it. But I classify all the boxes down here, and probably national wide, as three security levels. And now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go walk outside your house. You'll see a big box, or down the street by the corner, see a big box with a handle on it, and it'll say, call before you dig, and it'll say the name of the company or whatever. And it'll have doors on both sides. Do you have doors on both sides?
Some do.
Some do.
The larger ones, yeah.
Yeah, the bigger ones have doors on both sides. There's different sizes and different security levels. The lowest security level, which I'll call, what's it on the Homeland Security level?
Green, like, or blue or something, isn't it? Like,
well, green level,
yeah,
is where the bolt to lock it is completely undone. You can pull the thing right open. That's like a good 30 to 40% of them are like that. Next level, which will be yellow, skipping a little bit, only three of them, so yellow, elevated threat, would be a one that is bolted shut. So you're going to have to get some, you're going to get
a can wrench.
Can wrench.
Yeah.
Undo it, open it up. The third, the fifth level, which would be red, secure level, not secure at all by any means, is comes in two colors. Either it's bolted shut and it has a twist tie, you know, those ones you click and then it's quote-unquote closed.
Right.
Or the bolts and then it's just closed. So, for the hardest level, all you gotta do is get, like, a knife, cut it open, do your shit, close it back up, and get the same exact twist tie. They bought it from fucking like the harvester down the street of where you are.
From your loaf of bread.
Yeah. not to say, you know, the clicky ties.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Through the hole and you go click it.
Yeah.
Not that stupid.
Oh, not tie wraps. Oh, they're zip ties. Okay.
Zip ties, yeah. Zip ties. Maybe they have a gun, but I swear you that they probably bought it down the street. They looked at the arsenal and went, wait, maybe we can close this up better and go get some of those and close it up or something. So, yeah, that's the security level. And there is the possibility for a lock, which, you know, if you get a lock pin set, just spend a few minutes and you'll probably get it because they're probably shitty locks to begin with.
Yes.
They don't care about these things at all. And, yeah, that's all you can do. And I was fortunate enough to see the inside of these through some pictures I got. Pictures. I'll stress that word again.
That's right.
And it's pretty cool in there. You got a bunch of wires. I only had a glance at these really quick because I'd go. But it's kind of cool. There's a bunch of numbers. They don't have phone numbers in there because, of course, phone numbers will change a lot. But they have pair assignments. So it's like 2 digits and then 3 digits. And you look at all of them, there's a big rack of them. And I was fortunate enough to see one that was under construction, the construction site, where the whole thing was opened up, like spewed open like a body. And there's one rack where you see all these things where you can connect wires. And they also have the wiring in the back where they run the wires out of the ground into the back of the panel.
Right.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, very cool.
And the other stuff, let me think what else. Also, you know, that was a good half hour of fun. What I also find here is the, it's really odd, I want to bring this up, is that Sprint is the phone company, but Verizon is the payphone company.
Whoa. So the
all the pair boxes have Sprint on them, but the payphone I'm at right now says Verizon.
That's weird.
Very weird. I can see it right now. It says Verizon right here. And they have a Verizon metal sticker and a Verizon payphone at the bottom by the chain box.
Now,
the Radio Freak America sticker here too.
Oh my gosh. Now, whatever you do, if you see the little plastic placards there, if it's loose, you know, coming off the payphone,
it might just fall off.
If it falls off, you know, make sure you pick up that litter.
I will.
Okay, good deal. Hey, that is a good freak adventure. Isn't that fun?
Actually, one more addendum.
Oh, please.
Is that the central office is funny. My central office in my suburb is really stupid. They just have, well, they're not stupid as Ameritech, and they don't throw anything away. But, I mean, they don't have anything really guarding it. This one, they also think it's for two reasons. It has a dual purpose.
Ah.
It serves as the, well, three purposes. It probably serves as the central office. I think it serves as the cell site, because you see the sector panel antennas, and it also serves as the emergency horn. So the thing is guarded up the ass.
It is.
The back. Where the back is, it has barbed wire and a retractable fence. so it closes off at night, which I'm going to go find out at the end of the show. So
very nice. Be careful.
Oh, of course.
Have you spotted the dumpster yet?
What? The dumpster? Oh, I saw. I did a couple sweeps.
Sweet.
By daylight. With me humming the Mission Impossible theme song.
That's right. Doing a little reconnaissance.
Exactly. Reconnaissance.
That's right. It's just garbage, for crying out loud.
Of course. And actually, there's a lot of garbage in there. I'm surprised.
Really? Oh, that's a good sign. Well, probably because it's well-protected.
That's true. Yeah, not a lot of people come around here, so.
You know, I might as well talk about this. The last time, and this is, again, also impromptu, the last time I went on a freak adventure, not the last one on the show, but one since, I hit the dumpster at my CO. Well, I don't know if they're on to me, they're on to somebody else. I've heard other people have hit that dumpster as well. Used to get good stuff, now there's nothing. There's nothing in there. Occasionally, neighbor garbage, right?
People. Hey, oh, funny you mentioned that. All right.
Let me finish. So, I hit this dumpster, and there's nothing in there, but there's lots and lots of little light blue slips, it looks like. I don't know, I didn't know what they were. So I looked in, I reached down into the dumpster, the empty dumpster, and picked a stack of these things up. And they were basically the carbons from some person's checkbook. Millions of them, dude. I mean, they took like a box of checks, a box of those things left over, and threw them in there. I grabbed them up, I scooped them up, and I basically had profiled the shopping habits and bill paying habits of this person. I mean, but why would you do that? I don't know. You know, I got a name, I got address, I got this number. That's right. Shred it, please.
Yeah.
Actually, you can take those to your bank, and they will destroy them for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody knows that, but check that out. You can take those to your bank, old checks that you're not going to use, or all those carbons, and they will destroy them for you. And you were going to say, mute?
This is what's the first night I go to see this thing. I'm in there, you know, digging around and stuff. Maybe I just leaned over the side because I was a little worried. And I go in there, and there's a lot of just papers, just random papers.
Uh-huh.
A lot of work orders. That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
And I go, there's it's a thing called Pressure Map. I looked it up. It's basically software to record pressure in the lines going out to the houses, and basically schematics of, well, this line has so much nitrogen in it, because I think they use nitrogen to find out what speed oxygen will probably corrode the wires. So basically find out what it is and everything, and the next night it's empty. It's either empty or it's neighbor garbage.
Ah.
For like 3 months, all I get is an empty box. Or neighbor garbage, and I started getting a lot of neighbor garbage, like chandeliers.
Oh shit!
And like fans, like wall, like ceiling mounted fan boxes, and like plans for cabinets. And I'm like, where's this coming from? So I hold off for a month or two, and I come back. I went back. This would have been last month or a couple months ago, and I find some cool stuff. Not a lot of work orders. Not a lot of blue slips. I find basically the guy that runs it, who also runs another suburb, which I have the address to now, because. Stupidly enough, he has garbage from his other job and brings his garbage to this job.
Nice.
You get both addresses for the price of one.
Very nice.
And then, what else? And that was his name, too, and actually, one, the first time I ever went out, I guess Ameritech has these kind of envelopes. They have envelopes so you can hand out your paychecks. And I had his envelope, no check. He was smart enough to not throw his check away.
Good.
But he got his check thing. So that was kind of funny. And anyway, we always get work order stuff. Not too many. Not Ameritech. As I was talking to a friend of mine who has relatives that work for them. Everyone's responsible for their own garbage, so you're gonna have to destroy your garbage.
Huh?
And there's no like communal garbage stuff. We're gonna throw away a bunch of telecom gear. Gonna save that stuff basically. But I have found some cool stuff like stickers and like shipping shit like
yeah.
That's kind of cool because you see what they're buying.
Right, see how much it costs. That's a big thing. I would find those as well.
Not
how
much it costs, but you see what it is.
Really?
You can see what it costs. One time I bought a whole slipping package slip. Like, I was talking about the stickers they put in front on the boxes.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you get a whole packing list.
Right.
What they buy. And basically, this trip was, like, glue and some nuts for probably mounting.
Oh, no, I found lists for telco hardware with costs before.
Wow.
And I've also found, and not even diving, but just, you know, random riding around, and I'd see, you know, this strange big, you know, I don't know, blue piece of paper or a weird-looking slip, I would find, quite often, actually, it's surprising, people's pay stubs with all of their information, with, you know, name, address, social security number, everything, just on the ground. I can't believe people are that careless. I've also heard that a good place to go diving are the dumpsters around answering services. That's right. Those places that get all those forwarded calls, those are good places to dive, by the way. I've heard that. Boy, this turned into an impromptu diving section at the end of the Freak News.
You want to roll into paranoia?
Yes. Can we end the Freak News?
Close it up.
Let's see.
Wake up, Snake. Snake is snoozing.
How many was that?
That was like one. We heard one. That was good.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to bore you with the Freak stuff, man.
Well, that's a lot to add, that's all.
No, but you will this time, because you will impart upon us common sense, because we are going to talk about, and Mute and I came up with this, paranoid delusions. That's right. We're just going to go nuts. We're going to let our minds go. We're going to act like we're strung out on meth for days, right? And we're paranoid, and we're going to just...
staring at me in the corner.
That's right. They're following me. The helicopter. That helicopter is following me. We're going to talk about the bad things that could happen. We're going to go off on what'll happen if you box or if you go into that wireless network. And actually, let's start, since we just ended the Freak News, let's start with a little freak paranoid delusions, your worst what-if nightmares. So what if? Mute actually brought this up. What if you're boxing, right? And, you explore something maybe you shouldn't have, and your fingerprints are all over the box. Are they going to dust for prints? Are they going to trace it back to that number and find you? Or worse, well, more probable, I should say, is what if you're boxing, right? And, a police officer pulls up. What if that happened, Muse?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, as they say, always do not panic. Whenever confronted with a difficult situation, do not panic. That's to keep your calm.
That's
so
right.
You think, okay, the cop's behind me. You got to run through your head. First of all, what's he here for? Of course, he's going to pull you. Look, he's thinking something suspicious. And not might necessarily know what you're doing, but you know something's going down. So you got to do is just, turn around. He's probably going to ask you, "What the hell are you doing?" And you can take two options now. Duel, I don't know, because I've never had this situation before, but you either lie to him or you don't lie to him.
Well, technically, you can, and I don't mean technically as in the law, but technically as in he doesn't know what you're doing with the technology, you can lie, and my suggestion is to lie your ass off.
Yeah.
And you're right, don't panic, don't run.
Yeah, don't run, yes.
Don't shove your hands in your pockets, don't do anything quick, no quick movements. Just keep your hands out. Don't touch the... Maybe pull the clips off the base box as soon as you can. And, of course, you were not using the DTMF from the box. You were using a tone dialer, of course, with no memory capabilities. That's obvious. And did you happen to have this happen to you, Mute?
Well, in theory, I was at this same payphone earlier today, checking out, doing a little OptiVertage, because, those damn AT&T, all those calling cards... they'll charge you like 50 cents for calling from a payphone.
That's right, bastards.
Who wants that? The whole point of a phone card is to use it wherever you are. Not to just sit at your house and call a bar of fate for 3 hours.
That's right. And we'll discuss this in a moment.
Yeah. What I did is, I was just OptiVerting. Basically, call the op. You say, I'm having trouble dialing this number, such as the 800 number. And with enough social engineering, they'll dial it. And they did, and I didn't have any problems. Well, seeing as though I have a quote-unquote shady past, I have the air quotes shady past, I'm always looking out for myself, and I see a cop coming down the street, I'm like, he's probably just surfing around, So I see him pull into the 7-Eleven, I'm like, this is not good at all. He's coming for me. I'm back in that paranoia sense. So now I'm just relax, just making my phone calls, probably not here for me, maybe get some donuts. Doesn't get out of his car, which worries me more. Maybe he's going to follow me. So, maybe someone tipped him off. Maybe they found out I was down here in Southwest Florida.
That's right.
And you don't know what's going on. You don't know. That's the whole thing. You never know what people are doing. Because you'll see someone, and then your mind will jump to conclusions. This is another thing you do. Don't jump to conclusions. Just act normally. Because maybe he's not there for you.
That's right.
We always remember that. Maybe he's just chilling and illing.
Most probably not. But do you ever wonder, what if you happen accidentally, right, hit a certain button on your tone dialer and some tones accidentally get transmitted into the phone, right? And what if a cop pulls up shortly thereafter? What if they have that type of response? What if their response is that quick? They know you box those tones, baby.
Yeah.
They know it, and they send a cop like that. Telco security, who knows? What if?
But it, yeah, exactly.
What?
But if it gets that dangerous, just grab your ankles and rain a guy who's not destroyed.
That's right. Okay, now you also talked about optiverting. Well, what if? Man, what if? You're optiverting, and it seems to work. You think it works.
That's
right?
A good theory, I thought.
Yeah, what if you dial 10-10-2-8-8, you optivert through your local op, you do something, right, and you call an ANI number, and what's read back is an NPA, and then 7-2s or 7-0s, right? Not even anywhere near your phone number or the phone number of the payphone you're on. But what if?
All lies.
It's all a lie. What if that is not the case? That optiverting, they're just making it seem like your ANI is failing and it is not being passed to the number you're calling. But what if it really is? What if they have that capability? What if the technology, that's child's play to have it read back some other number, but it's really being transmitted? What if? What if all of your freaking is wide open, baby? They can read it like an open book. What if? Don't panic. Relax. It's okay. How about this? You just got your new 802.11b card. You got your laptop. You're driving around, having a good time. You're war driving. Totally legal, right? Sure. But what if you just happen to stop and you say, hey, I wonder, this is wide open like most networks are. There's no web. There's nothing. No VPN. I want to check this out. So you stop. You reboot. You restart your PCMCIA. You get an IP. You're on the network. You look around. You look around some more. You don't do anything bad. You're just exploring. What if? What if they log everything you're doing? What if they get your, that's right, your MAC address?
Only, now this is a good theory. Me and Duel, when we were coming up with this idea for this section. Now, there's, you get your MAC address, but that's only if they're in the local network.
That's right. Only if you get an IP within their network.
You get it. Let's say that's only MAC only goes as far as the router. When it hits the router or the I learned this in network when I was reading for Cisco, which still had to take. I haven't taken the class yet. Either the router or the it's the router. It will drop the MAC address. So the only thing after that is your IP address. So you're doing it from home. They're going to have your IP address, which doesn't make a difference if it's static or not, because I bet your local broadband dude has got MAC address or some type of way to notify that this MAC address ties to this IP address at this time, or some record, some past record, but we have no idea how far that goes, so be careful, don't do anything.
Right.
Now, if you're in the local net and you're doing stuff, they're going to have your MAC address. If they're logging for the MAC address, you don't know. You always got to remember, you don't know.
Right.
Unless you have unequivocal. You don't even do base it on proof, because you don't know if they have some net filter running, which you can't see at all from the network. You don't know, because they might have something. I actually read an article where it was, you make the IP address 0.0.0.0.0, and it'll just pass traffic through it because you use port forwarding through IP tables. You'll never see it because it doesn't exist, but it'll be logging stuff.
Yeah, but mute, who cares? I'm on a wireless network, I'm in a parking lot in the middle of the night, they'll never know, right?
No, because let's say your MAC address is a bunch of ones. That's hypothetically because nothing, well, you can make it dead, but I digress. Whatever MAC address is, if you bought that with a credit card and you stumble upon a network that is like, you think it's something really open, but it's really either really some really stupid employee or some government agency, and you get a lot of shit like, oh my god, I got the plans for Area 51, I got the location, know how to get in. Well, first of all, it might be bullshit, but second of all, but it probably is, let's say it is real. You bring it home, you read stuff, and within a week, there's federal agents with a pole stuck up your ass asking you where the hell you got this stuff.
Ass Rand.
Yes, exactly. Ass
Rand. What's with all the ass play lately?
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Anyways.
Play along.
Well, you know how they got you? It's because you used Danny's credit card to buy your wireless card. And once you want to hack, and the feds come and say, what the hell happened here? Give us your logs. And they say, we got a MAC address here from a Linksys card, and well, we'll just call up and we'll just call up Lynx and see who they sold it to, find the company, let's say it's Best Buy, find the Best Buy it was sold to, find the credit card slip. It's called the paper trail.
That's right.
We'll get the paper trail back to you, and within a week or however long, just like Joey and Hackers,
you're busted.
You're nailed. Nailed to the wall.
Big time.
So what you do to prevent yourself doing that is one of two options. One, don't use a credit card. And for all intents and purposes, go out in the middle of nowhere, buy your card out there, and then come back and do your stuff.
With cash.
With cash.
But,
exactly, cash.
But Stank, what if I use cash, but they still track it all back with the MAC address, and they know where it is, and I mean, what if they know where I bought it and when, and they look at their video cameras. Can they bust me that way?
Well, look, there's a couple solutions to that. Am I playing the voice of reason here? Is that my...
Yes.
First of all, what you should do every once in a while anyway, just for the hell of it, is, you know, maybe take it back to the store and complain that you had problems with it and swap it out for another one. You know, that's one thing you can do. But the easiest solution, I mean, if you're into something really deep, something that you know you shouldn't have done, something you know that was crossing a line, something you are concerned about, MAC address is a hardware issue. That's a hardware layer. And if you're that concerned, it's a $50 network card. Chuck it out the window and go buy another one. They can trace it back to that network card that they might find on the side of the street or in the parking lot, but you're long gone, and there's no way they can tie that back to your computer.
White people prints, I recommend.
That's right. That's a whole other topic. Now,
have your prints on file to match them to.
That's true.
If you don't have a criminal record, now they may keep that in some data warehouse, and then all of a sudden, when they do catch you, they solve 5 unsolved crimes from the past 10 years. But you know that's
unsolved mysteries. For a card in the street.
Okay, now let's continue with this. Let's continue with the common sense now. Now we're going to stop the paranoid delusions, right? This experimental section on Radio Freak America, and we're going to talk about common sense. Okay, common sense says, first of all, don't do anything stupid. Okay, if you're going to go have some fun, whether it be freaking or hacking, make sure you keep your wits about you, make sure you consider the consequences, and make sure if you're going to explore stuff that you really, well, I hate to say this, because even if you are, you know, benevolent, keep your ass covered, all right?
Hey, cover your ass.
That's right. And I say, don't destroy anything, don't do anything bad, don't steal anything, don't perform any vandalism, just look. There's no need to be paranoid. As long as you're calm, as long as you think about the consequences, and as long as, well, again, you don't do anything stupid. Is that good?
That's good.
Easier said than done sometimes.
Yeah, very much so, very much so. You're having fun. It's very exciting. You get access to something which, you know, is pretty easy. It's pretty plentiful. It's very exciting. You want to get more access. I understand. I definitely understand. But you got to really consider what you're doing. You definitely have to consider what you're doing. And there's no reason to be paranoid. If you did something wrong, yeah, sure, maybe you want to CYA. But just be smart.
Aim, you take your chances.
That's right. Just be smart about what you do. Try to stay, you know, it's hard to stay within the bounds of what is really legal when you're exploring technology. I mean, shit, you can't even perform...
It's almost as impossible.
You're right. It's hard is an understatement.
You're going to break a minuscule law. All right, let's take an example. Scanning on your radio. If you scan something that's not meant for you, you've already committed a felony. I bet everyone that listened to this show and nothing to demean anyone has committed a felony somehow. And that's scary.
It's very scary. So you got to make sure that you think, again, I can't stress this enough, think about what you're doing before you do it. I know it's really exciting, you got the access, whoa, step back, because we don't want you to go too far without thinking about it, without covering your ass, and then you end up having these crazy paranoid delusions about what's going to happen. It's no fun, okay? It's no fun.
And, you know, I have to add another thing is you might, not only might you break a law that's some obscure little thing, but even if you don't, you know, Kevin Mitnick is not fake. That is not a story that we don't know about. They will hold your ass with no law.
Yes.
So they will hold your ass in jail and make up some shit to hold you on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't think you can't be framed, by the way.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. All right, well, I hope everybody enjoyed that. I hope it didn't scare you too bad. But we thought we had a message to get out. What's that?
A wake-up call.
It is a wake-up call. We had a message to get out, and we thought that was a good way to do it. So if you have any paranoid delusions, if you have ever had a time where you were scared and nothing bad came out of it, hopefully, let us know. Please send it in, and we'll get that on the air. Guys, that show flew by. It just goes by too fast. I still have stuff to talk about. All right, I don't care. Hold on. All right, I got in my hand. We're going to bust some old-school tech right now. This is good. We're going to end the show on this. I went to the electronic surplus and picked this up. It's in my hand right now. It is a Multitech Systems FM30 data coupler. That's right. I got an acoustic coupled modem. I actually found, and I had to do some digging, but I found the power cord for it. It lights up. I plugged it in. It lights up. The power light comes on. I have yet to try it. I'm going to hook it up to my, a DOS box and use, I got Procom Plus. I'll try that out. Some old school terminal software. It is so awesome. Again, it is a Multitech Systems from Minneapolis, Minnesota, FM30, half full switch on the bottom. I cannot wait to try it out. I hope it works. I really do. So I just scored me an acoustic coupled modem. And that's it, man. The show flew by. Little old school to end the show. Mute, thanks a lot, man, for hanging on that payphone. Hey, can you get anybody on? Get that old 7-Eleven guy on.
No, he left. Actually, it was funny because it's really when you say that payphone, you just find so much stuff out of context. Like this guy that I was talking about before. I see him walk out of the store with a cigarette in his mouth and a 12 case of Budweiser. I'm like, he's going to the back of the store. What's he doing? But I see keys in his hand, so he's not really doing anything. But you see so many just weird things when you're just standing at a payphone. I recommend everyone does it sometimes.
It is. You want to have fun, man. Hang out. And I've done this too much, probably. Hang out at payphones. You're dialing out, man. You're freaking making calls. You're talking to people. You're on con lines. You're going to see a lot of freaky people, right? It's good for people watching. A lot of people are going to think you're a freak because you're spending a lot of time on a payphone. It's a lot of fun. It's an adventure within itself, man. Hop on your bike, right? Get on your hog.
I've already had people stare at me, so you know.
Oh, yeah. And pedal your ass down to a payphone, right? And have some fun. Do some dialing, man. Scan some 800 numbers for crying out loud. And, you know, there's more to it than just the telecommunications technology. There's the whole aspect of being outside and, interacting with people. Don't be scared of that. Definitely don't be paranoid of people, that's for sure. All right, guys, good show. Thanks, Mutes.
You got it.
All right, man, nice to have you on, and we're going to miss you until your ass-ramming part 2 is done. What's that?
The ass-ram is complete.
Yes, until the ass-ramming is complete. Stank, thank you very much for joining us. How are you feeling, by the way?
I'm a little under the weather, but I'm feeling pretty good.
Wow, well, I really appreciate you being on the show then. Everybody, check out those mirrors, all right? Later.